Tech, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. You know, it just occurred to me, we're doing a Maryland Crab Cake tour, and each and every week I hold up the Betty Boop tickets, and I hold them up right now, except that I'm out of them, and Roz got me some more. We're going to be at G&O Coney Island Hot Dog on Friday, and then next week, doing a special Wednesday thing, because I'm slipping out of town for the NFL draft, we're going to be at Conrad's Crabs in Perry Hall. So we're going to be Northeast Baltimore County, my old stomping grounds, where my son went to high school, where we used to do our old barn shows, doing all that, in conjunction with our friends at the Maryland Lottery as well as our friends at Goodwill Industries. John Baylaw joins us now. He is one of our defending champions, not just at networking events and fun, and longtime Goodwill insider, but also a guy that's been out to some of our events over the course of time. And listen, no bone to pick, because you guys are like one of our new sponsors here, and I brought on a whole bunch of new sponsors for the summer and the Crab Cake Tour. I don't have any Goodwill swag. I need a hat, any t-shirt. I got to get something. I'm always giving all my stuff to you. I spent the whole weekend bagging up boxes and gently used. I put the plates. I wrapped them all up from last week. So I'm ready to maybe get another like truck over here. I just need one hat and one shirt, John. Can we hook it up?
Yeah, I'll hook you up. Yeah. I know you told me last time, so I will definitely get you a shirt, get you whatever we have available.
Chilly mornings, I'm, you know, wearing my sweatshirt here, my Baltimore Positive thing. And I knew I was having you on. Last time while we talked a little bit of baseball, we got the NFL draft next week. I said, hey, you want to talk sports? And you're like, hey, man, we got big things going on in the city right now. So aside from me and my wife taking four more days, and we actually have a whole closet. We're calling it the Goodwill Closet. So we've been putting everything in there. Got a beautiful chair in there for you that is fully functional and stuff like that. But aside from just giving you guys stuff and it's spring cleaning and all that, you guys have been hard at work on doing something that's really tangible and bricks and mortar and something that we can look at and say, wow, they're doing something down in the city right now.
Yeah. I mean, so you mentioned donations, and I think everybody knows Goodwill's name from donating their household items and shopping in Goodwill retail stores. But a lot of people don't know what we do with that. You know, we're a nonprofit. I think most people know that, but we really, our efforts here are to provide job readiness training, case management, child care, behavioral health service programs for individuals in Baltimore City, Baltimore Metro, and also on the Eastern Shore. And so, you know, Nestor, one thing we found out is that we have really tried to increase the wages of those participants coming to our programs. And one thing that has been hurting those individuals and really hurting our programs is that a lot of apprenticeships require a high school diploma and a ninth grade reading and math level. And unfortunately, a lot of our participants weren't reaching that. So we there's a model called the Excel Center from Indianapolis, actually. I know Colts and all that, but they invented this great model about 10 years ago, and it's called the Excel Center. It's an adult high school. It's a condensed program over 2 years. And
not GED now, right?
This not
is
GED.
Like,
nope.
This is legitimately doing all the coursework, right?
Legitimately doing the coursework, and we also try to remove those barriers that people might have. So we help with transportation, with childcare, and each individual works at their own pace. So, you know, some people may move quicker, some people may need a little more help, but really the goal is to get them their high school diploma, to get them prepared, and to really get that diploma, but also be reading at a, you know, high school level and doing math at a high school level, and to get them, they can go to college, they can go into apprenticeship programs, which we offer, and they can really do whatever they want once they have that. But that's really a big barrier, as you know, and especially in the city, but also in a lot of the state of Maryland. So we've been working for years trying to launch this program, and now we are pretty much set, and we are going to launch it either end of 2022 or early 2023, probably early 2023. It's a lot of work to do, but we have received some funding from the state of Maryland. Appreciative for that. And we're ready to roll, Nestor. We're excited, and it's going to be a big undertaking. And we really feel like this is a great opportunity for not only the citizens of Baltimore, but, you know, obviously for Goodwill, I think we can really connect why you donate to what we're actually doing with those donations.
John, you've been around a couple decades in and out with Goodwill. Now they're over a decade, almost two decades in totality. Has it always been this way? I mean, like, I I've been giving stuff to Goodwill as long as I, from my house on Kane Street in 1988, right? Like, we just, it's just where I gave stuff, right? So, sure. And that became a natural thing to even learn more. Even when I was doing your Halloween gridiron things, I didn't really understand. You know, I mean, I'm having a drink and doing the Michael Jackson Thriller dance and MCing and not really understanding all of this that, but this has been going on for a long, long time. And a lot of folks just don't know. They just think, oh, there's a store. I drop stuff off. I don't want any more people buy it. That's nice, right? They're a nonprofit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, from being in marketing, that's one of the frustrations. We have a great brand. I think, you know, everybody knows Goodwill, but a lot of people don't connect that job readiness, job training component. And Goodwill was founded, Nestor, in Boston, 1902. We started in Maryland in 1919. And pretty much this has been the mission. And it really, it began for people with physical disabilities. They would actually take those clothing that you donated and they would repair them, or that furniture, repair them, and then resell it. So it was a way to give people a job actually repairing items. But over the years, you know, needs have changed and communities, you know, have different needs. So the mission really grew to help people, not only with physical disabilities, but anybody with really an impairment or a block to employment. So we're people that might not have a high school diploma, people that have never worked, people who have been laid off. So really the mission has grown to really be all encompassing. And really our goal is to help anyone find a job and receive that training to find a job.
Jonathan Balog is the Chief Communications Officer, the CCO of Goodwill. I just know you as the guy around town. I mean, I guess I don't even remember the first time I met you. I just know you from all of these things, always representing Goodwill. But you talked about this school. And I, you know, I think about this because my dad taught me to read. I read when I was 3 years old. I read the sports page when I was in kindergarten. I've never known what it's like to not read. You know, now I do know when I see Spanish or I see Russian or I see a language I don't even understand the characters, right? I've been all through Asia where I have been illiterate in Tokyo, illiterate in Beijing, illiterate in South Korea, but a lot of signs are in English there because they've had an Olympics. Tokyo, a little bit more of that too, but I've been some places where I have been illiterate to that culture or to that language or to communicating. You're a chief communications officer. Man, there's nothing like communicating if you can't read, right? And I remember when I was a kid, I was so far ahead of some of the other kids. It was like kids came in and were 8, 9, and 10 in my elementary school and were really falling behind at that level. And that is my... Other than teaching my son to read, and he reads better than me, and he reads more than me now. Couldn't get him to read when he was a kid. Now he just can't stop reading, learning stuff, teaching me stuff. But the just the baseline of literacy and the shame involved when you can't, and whatever that olive branch, that hand up, that rope, that you know, that lending hand of Goodwill that is part of your logo, right? That you reach to these people and say, we can teach you to read. That feels to be you can't do much here if you can't read.
Yeah, definitely. And that's a big component. And also, the math component is really big as well. So it's both of them that really work together because, you know, to have any kind of employment where you're making nice money, making a self-sustaining wage for your family, you need to have basic skills. And so obviously, as you mentioned, being able to read at that ninth grade level, but also perform math at that ninth grade level, a lot of jobs are not going to hire you unless you have a competency in that. So that's really what our goal is with this school, is to really help people achieve that. And we have, you know, worked with individuals, we provide tutoring, but really that's, you know, it's a small piece we're reaching out to. So this school is going to be able to, at full capacity, it could serve 300 people at any given time. You know, obviously we'll probably start a little smaller, but at full capacity, we could have 300 individuals in that program at any given time. So we feel like it's a great impact, like you said, to help people have reading comprehension, but also have those basic math skills and really prepare them for, you know, the world that's out there, for the jobs that are available. And the school is for those that are 21 years and older. So it's obviously people who are a little bit out of the high school system, so they can come back. And I think the average age nationwide in the schools is about 25 years old. So it seems to be a normal age, you know, like you get out of high school for a while and you're looking around, maybe you can't find the job you want. You come to us, you know, and you can really get those skills to move ahead.
Well, we've been fortunate enough with Baltimore Positive the last 4 years of doing this with Don that we've talked to a lot of people trying to make the world a better place and pilot programs. Mm-hmm. And you talk about this program in Indianapolis as being something that's working, something that the state of Maryland said, hey, we'll put this is a good thing. This is good for our citizens. Let's put money behind this. Goodwill has a structure. They're working with these partners in Indianapolis. Tell me more about that part of it. And is this location in Baltimore already being served or served? Do you know the bricks and mortar location, or is this still conceptual at this point?
So we actually have a few possible locations. I don't want to announce
anything
yet. It's
not set. Okay, but it's not.
So,
okay.
Yeah, so we're pretty confident. We have a few locations that we're scoping out. So we anticipate having that settled in a few months. And then we're going to start hiring staff. We're going to start. We have a curriculum in place already. So that part is finished. And we're going to get the staff up, have the location, provide training for our staff, obviously, and then get ready to roll. And like I said, I think we're pretty confident we can have it rolling within, 6 to 8 months.
Well, John Balog is here. He is the chief communications officer, talking good things from Goodwill. And you hear the ads here and you see the signs around town and you know that I've been putting my closet together. I have my own Goodwill closet. I might need a truck. I mean, not a truck, but a van. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's more than a trunk so far. I know that. So I'm going to have some sort of visit going on here. But you and I get together to talk sports every now and then. And we've run into each other and gone to games and March Madness together over the course of our relationship here. Where are you on the Ravens right now, man? This is the league's crazy in that it never takes a day off, whether it's the mess going on with Commander Dan or whether it's Cleveland signing the Deshaun Watson or whether it's the impact that it has on whether the Ravens are going to sign Lamar Jackson. It's fun to be a football fan.
Yeah, I think that's a fun. I mean, I think when we were younger, it was boring in the offseason, and now it's like it never stops, And so I think
well,
it's fun.
I was a nerd. Okay. I knew who Mel Kiper was before you did. I was
probably
that guy. Yeah.
Okay. But I guess I would tune out a little bit and get into basketball.
Well, I was a Houston Oilers fan when we lost the Colts, right? And obviously the Colts, their draft pick was John Elway. I mean, as a kid, I always knew who the Colts were drafting, whether it was Randy Burke or whether it was Burchard. The draft was how the Colts were. So I would say to you that I followed the draft even as like a kid, strangely. I guess that's how you grow up and do sports radio for 3 decades, right?
Yeah. Gets you started, right?
No, but I'm just thinking, like, even when I was an Oiler fan, the day they drafted Mike Munchak, the day they drafted Steve McNair, all of their first-round draft picks, I was such a huge Oiler fan. Did you see my I put a Facebook picture up this week. Everybody that knows me knows I was an Oiler idiot, but I thought I owned everything Oiler, had seen everything Oiler. John, you got to check this out. For anybody watching out on our Baltimore Positive, look at that. Look at that. Nice. Would I not love to wear that in 1978 to Halliburton Middle School in the era? It looks like Earl Campbell would wear that helmet, right? I mean, so that was a nutty football fan. And I guess all these years later, everybody's kind of caught up to me. Everybody's got a mock draft but me, John.
It's crazy, right? I mean, everybody's an expert. So you listen to other stations or other outlets, and everybody knows everything. And sometimes we forget the guys in the front office probably know a little more than we do, I would think.
Well, that's what I always defer. People were like, who's Ozzie going to draft? And I'm like, part of the fun for me is knowing a lot about it, talking a lot about it, but not in any certain terms like, I think the Ravens should draft, No, but like breaking down the day after they make picks as to why they've made them, how they affect the team. And look, from Calais Campbell to Josh Bynes to, to the pieces they've picked up in the offseason, the things they've done, and they believe their running backs are coming back. They believe they're going to be healthier. They believe their cornerbacks are healthy, and that remains to be seen as well. And obviously the left tackle situation, this is a draft from a talk about it perspective where they're at 14, which is way higher than they usually are, that there's so many things they could do. They're going to take the best player available. That sounds crazy. And that's not going to be a quarterback or a wide receiver for them, but it's going to be something they can use, whether it's a guard, a tackle, defensive lineman, middle linebacker, which they've gone after before. They always need help on the back end. And signing safeties off the market for a lot of money and bringing back Tony Jefferson at the end. They've got holes, and that's what makes this. We could sit here and talk about it all day. I did for 20 years.
And you never know, right? You never know. We can be negative or positive, and once the season starts, things happen, and it players who you don't think much of become really good, and and the opposite happens. But I want to tell you a story about a mutual friend of ours, Kevin Byrne.
Okay.
You know Kevin a long time, as he was on our board for I think 20 years almost.
Last I saw Kevin, he was walking on the beach in South Carolina last week with his daughter and wife.
Yeah.
So yes, he looks great. Looks like he's golfing a lot.
Yeah, he's living life. And I remember we used to do tours of the facility over there, and it was awesome to see it. I remember we walked, I think it was I believe Ozzie Newsome's office once. He let us kind of peek in, you know, no one was there, obviously. And there was a whole board on the wall and it had all these names listed. And I was like, what is that? And it was like, they had every single player in the league ranked by position. I remember that, you know, that's going to happen, but it was just kind of cool to see it. Like, you're like, wow, they are so focused on everything. And they knew, like, when players got cut or whatever, they knew what they needed. And it was,
so if you had ever walked into George Kokainis's office, you'd see every available player on, you know, every free agent, pro, every guy that might get cut, every guy that's the seventh cornerback in case our guy turns an ankle that we looked at the draft and scouted 4 years ago that didn't make it with the 49ers. When they pick these guys up off the street week three, Josh Bynes has been back four times.
Yeah.
They love him. They love him, and he makes their building better. And, you know, you have a workplace at Goodwill. They like good people, and this is their time to decide who they want in their building, who they want to put that helmet on. Not the one with the Oiler thing, but the real helmet, you know?
The care and the attention to detail they put into it. It's really fun to see, you know? And I think, like I said, I think we lose sight sometimes and we, you know, watch ESPN and we see one player and we all want to have him, but, and then we get mad when we don't pick him. But I think I think the guys down there know a little bit more than we do.
It goes back to the first draft, because I'm an old guy now. My 30th anniversary, which you guys are a sponsor of. Thank you very much. The first draft was in 96, and everybody in the city, everybody on sports radio wanted that running back. You get that running back from Nebraska, we're going to run. We're going to put Vinny Testaverde. We're going to Super Bowl in our purple uniform, looking like Barney. And then they don't take Lawrence Phillips. They take John Ogden, and people are like, we already have a left tackle. We don't need him. What do we need a tackle for?
Yeah.
And, you know, he's only in the Hall of Fame. So, cautionary. By the way, when Ray Lewis was drafted, everybody wanted a running back named Leland McElroy from Texas A&M.
I remember him.
We didn't take the running back on the first pick. Need a running back. Got to have Ernest Biner. He's old. We'll take Jay Graham in the third round out of Tennessee. And maybe he'll run for 150 yards one time against Philadelphia. I remember things, John. I'm old like that. John, tell everybody what Goodwill does and how they can be involved in some way other than just doing what I've done, which is it's spring cleaning time, and that's always a good thing to do too. And keeping stuff out of landfills. I talked to our friends. It's Earth Day week this week, by the way.
So it is, yep.
I have my friends from Wise Markets. I still have my ice cream scooper here. I mix and mingle our sponsors here. But I did a huge Earth Day segment about plastic bags and shopping and just all of that kind of stuff. And we mentioned landfills. And that's why I'm like, hey, my friends at Goodwill, that's part of your commitment is this closet full of stuff of mine. You're going to be landfill friendly with that stuff.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned plastic bags and we're actually partnering with Trex. I don't know if you heard of the decking company and they make their decks out of plastic. So we're going to be collecting plastic bags and recycling them for Trex. So it's kind of a cool thing. We're pretty much learning ways to recycle everything. Now, not every single thing in the world, but we're really finding ways to be more clever and more creative in what we recycle. So we have a couple exciting things that I can't really talk about right now, but we are recycling as much as we can. So the goal is to keep stuff out of the landfills and, you know, but your donations, that's important. I mean, the more you have shopping in our stores, obviously we love that as well. And, but we're always looking at ways to, really use anything and everything people give us.
You're not getting my Led Zeppelin belt buckle. Sorry. No. But if you find one, let me know. I'll buy it. I'll donate. Okay. I'm a good donator if you get some Pacifica belt buckles. Jonathan Baylog is the chief communications officer around here at Goodwill. Next time he's on, I swear I'm going to have I just want a shirt. Not a hat.
I got
good hair lately. I mean, Paul LaMantia cut my hair. My wife likes it. So I'm not hatting as much as I used to. This is sort of my European Dutch boy look right now. So I'm going for it because I'm going to Amsterdam in a couple of weeks to see the guy that saved my wife's life. So, hey, I appreciate you. There's some goodwill for you. And I hope to see you out maybe at a ball game or doing something. I mean, the Orioles have started now. There's lacrosse going on. My buddy Dennis Kolatsis is out fishing. I'm doing crab cakes. Come have a crab cake with me next month, John.
You got it. I'll be
you
there.
Got it. All right, Jonathan Baylog, our dear friend, chief communications officer with our friends at Goodwill Industries and Goodwill Industries at the greater Chesapeake area around here. We're going to be visiting places all summer long and talking about more ways that they pitch in and make the world a better place. And I'm pitching in right now and stuff in the closet full of stuff for our friends over at Goodwill. So I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Goodwill is part of what we're doing with our friends at the Maryland Lottery in bringing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on on the road. We're going to be at G&A Coney Island Hot Dog this weekend from Baltimore with love. So says Andy, as he's moved his location after 100 years from down in Highlandtown out to Route 7 in Philadelphia Road. It's now a diner. It's a breakfast, the whole deal. We'll be having some crab cakes out there on Friday the 22nd. Then on the 27th, that is Earth Day, by the way. So I'll be in White Marsh for Earth Day, and I'll be in Perry Hall on Wednesday the 27th with our friends at Comrade Crabs. And our 9 years in a row, they've been voted best crabs now for Baltimore Magazine, so they want me to tell you about that. But I'm going to be eating the crab cake. That's next Wednesday, the 27th, and we'll have great guests. Maybe John will come out and join us as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.